Wow. Oh, glory! Oh, glory. Ooh. Oh, wow. Woo. The only one true God. The only one who saves. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo. I was looking up in Revelation last night, and I got Revelation 6. It says, then I looked, and I heard the voices of the myriads. And that says in the footnote, 10,000s of 10,000s and thousands and thousands. If taken literally, this would exceed 110 million angels. It says this powerful scene of heavenly worship begins near the throne and then races outwardly to every being in heaven until it extends even further, cascading upon the earth like a waterfall. Wow. Is that amazing? So it says, the myriads of angels encircles around the throne, as well as the voices of the living creatures and the elders and the myriads and the myriads. And as I watched, all of them were singing with thunderous voices. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb, who was slaughtered to receive great power and might, wealth, and wisdom and honor and glory and praise. Then every living being joined the angelic choir, every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and everything in them were worshiping with one voice, saying, praise, honor, glory, and dominion be to God enthroned and to the Christ the Lamb forever and ever. And then the four living creatures responded, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah is right. Wow. That just went along with those last two songs. I got a message this morning from Pastor Ed. He had a word for the church. Okay, here it goes. It says, good morning, you in the church. Been on my mind this morning and praying for the service. I hear the words, turning point day. I don't know if it's for the corporate church or for the individuals. And hear the word, and I hear the word, remember me, when God remembered Noah in the boat. The sea symbolizes uncertainty, but he still trusted God in the uncertainty. When God remembered Noah, it wasn't that Noah was out of God's mind, but it was the time to be fulfilled. Wow. The word remember means it's time to be fulfilled. So I hear the word turning point. But the turning point may not be the changing the circumstances, but the turning point of saying, I will trust God. That's the big turning point. Wow. Okay, come on. This is good, isn't it? Glory.
I thought this was just for me, but what Karen said basically goes along what I saw during worship. So I'm a sports person. I like football. So I was at a football game, and you know, after they hike the ball, you have the linemen on either side wrestling and fighting and trying to push one another back. And that's all the stuff in our life, like that unexpected bill you got in the mail that you don't have the money to pay for, the person you trusted at work who stabbed you in the back, the neighbor who's always causing you trouble, the car that won't start, the relative that you thought was going to be healed and goes home with hospice. That's all that stuff, and that's what the enemy wants us to focus on. But then the quarterback steps back in the pocket and he throws that ball, and there's that one player that broke away from it all, and he's by the end zone, and he catches that ball, and he makes a touchdown. So God is going to work in a way we don't even know, and we don't want to focus on what's going on with all the wrestling. We want to believe that God can come through for us.
Good word. Never give up. I think about that video, too, when she was talking about it. Remember that video we played? Karen Wheat? Oh, it's in your notes. Well, it's that's how God is. Okay, very good. You got something to share, too? Okay.
Well, the cat's out of the bag because I'm going to preach later. But he gave me something. I was going to hold it, but it's like it's so big. I need it to release it. During the worship, she said that verse. I heard it. So I was in worship, and I'm like, wow, we got a packed house today. So I turned around, and we don't. So what God said is, and I heard God say, he said, I am proud of you. He is proud. And if he wasn't proud, he wouldn't have opened the heavens. You know, we're all going through hell. But you know what? He's still proud of us. We're proud of our children, even when they're not good children. But he's proud. He said, I am so proud of you. First, I thought it was me, and I pick up his emotions. And I am proud of you, too. But it was more than that. God saying he is proud.
Thank you, Lord. We needed to hear that today. Amen. Glory. God is so good. It's so wonderful how everything is just orchestrated in the Spirit by him. Without us talking about each other's, what are you going to preach on? I don't even know what he's preaching on. I don't know anything. So anyway, let's receive our tithes and offerings. If you need an envelope this morning, raise your hand and we'll get you one. And if you want to give through a credit or debit card, go see Deja in the back. Praise the Lord. I see a first-time visitor here. Maybe two? No, you've been here before. Okay. There you go. Oh, Lois. Where'd you come from? The woodwork? Being we're small yet, I could see everybody. One day I won't be able to. Praise God. Okay. Okay, this is the scripture this morning for our tithes and offerings. He says this in Hebrews 10:36. You need the strength of endurance to reveal the poetry of God's will, and then you will receive the promise in full. For soon and very soon, the one who is appearing will come without delay. Wow. And he also says, my righteous ones will live from my faith. But if fear holds them back, my soul is not content with them. But we are certainly not those who are held back by fear and perish. We are among those who have faith and experience true life. Hallelujah. So stay in faith, just like the whole message is about today. Don't give up. Don't look at all the bad stuff. Because things are going to turn around. It's a turning point. It says to trust the Lord, regardless of what we're going through. Right? I know, you're waiting. I know. Trust is the word for the day. Trust he's going to heal. Trust he's going to save. Trust he's going to come through. Trust he's going to get an apartment. Trust he's going to get a house. Trust he's going to get a building. Trust he's going to fill this place. Trust for the finances. Trust for a new truck. Trust for renovations. Trust for more water. Trust for more, what else we need? Paper towels. Trust for more food. Whatever we need, it's coming in. Thank you for all the healings, too. Lord, we lift up Eve to you this morning. She had to go back to the hospital. Lord, she's got blood clots, and Lord, we lift her up to you, and we pour the blood of Jesus right now all over her, Lord. We declare her healed, whole, and delivered right now. And by the stripes of Jesus, yes, she is healed, whole. And Lord, we thank you for balancing out her body. Get her healed up. She needs to rest and stop running around all the time so she can get healed up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And if anyone else that needs healing today, Lord, we just pour the blood of Jesus right now all over everyone from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet that need healing in their bodies, Lord. We thank you. Our friends and our family are healed and saved and delivered. Lord, we lift up these tithes and offerings unto you, Lord, today. And Deja's going to lift up the ones in the back. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that you opened up the windows of heaven today and you're pouring out blessings upon us, oh God. And Lord, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you to you're proud of us. You take care of us. You love us. You'll never leave us hanging out there. So Lord, we thank you. You protect us. Lord, you supply every single need that we have, Lord. And we call it in, and we thank you for it, and we thank you for abundance of favor and supernatural debt cancellations in Jesus' name. Amen. And I have a testimony about that. Okay, go ahead. Last week, Meg isn't here today. She went away with her family. But she said, you know how you always pray about supernatural debt cancellation? And I said, yeah. She said, well, my hospital bill was forgiven. Isn't that awesome? So she goes, I wanted to tell you that. And I said, oh, you should have came up last week and said it. But she said, well, tell everybody today. So I did. Glory. Yeah. God is good, guys. She didn't expect that either, you know. So, okay. Every Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we have our prayer time. If you're available to come on out and pray with us, that'll be great. All our messages are recorded and posted on our website, tfhcf.org. There's no children today. I don't see anybody today, but we've been doing children's church. So that's coming back in Jesus' name. Okay, July 17th, a Friday night at 7 o'clock. It's kind of a twofold thing we're having. It's called the Church Family Craft Night and Fellowship. What we're doing is coming together to put, making a craft and making these goodie bags for Operation Nursing Home, which we'll be doing that at another date, going to the nursing home with it. But that night would be a great time for people to come out and just fellowship, do a little craft, put some stuff together. We'll have all that. You don't have to worry about that. The only thing we're asking you to do is to bring a snack of your choice, and we'll have fun together. Last time we met, we had a good time, and we ate a lot, of course, you know. And we just shared a lot, too, so it was good. Okay, upcoming guest speakers is July 11th and July 12th with Dean Braxton. I got to get in touch with him because Saturday is the worship seminar, and I need to know all the details about that as it gets closer. And then that Sunday morning, he'll be preaching. Invite people because he always gives his testimony about when he went to heaven when he died for, what was it, an hour and a half? Hour and a half, he was dead. So, yeah, and it's documented. That's dead, like he said. Dead. Really, really dead. And then August 23rd, Sunday, Dennis Rainier will be with us at 10:30. And then October 11th, Sunday, Brad and Uli Klein will be back with us. And their ministry is called Open Storehouse. Right now, they're traveling all over the place, so they're going to have a lot of information for us to know about on the mission field. Okay, I appreciate Steve and Carla, and Steve's got a word for us this morning, so he's going to give you the message. We're going to hear what the Lord is saying. Amen.
Good morning. I love Karen so much. Don't you love Karen?
Yes.
I really, I don't like doing these messages. I really don't. I get stage fright. But when I heard Ed couldn't make it, I'm like, you know what? Let me give Karen a break. Do you want me to take, real quietly, do you want me to take that date? Yes. So I kind of toiled with what to do the title. So I'll just go the first one that was in my head, and it was, what the hell is going on? That's my message. But the nicer version is, let's examine what's going on. What the hell's going on? So basically, what I've done in my life, and they do it at tax time, they do that thing called audit. So every so often in my life, I like to audit myself. Step back, look what's going on. And there's hell going on everywhere. So what I want to do is encourage everyone. Ed really said the word that's supposed to finish this. But I want you to know what you're going through. Is it from the devil? Because we have an adversary. Is God pruning us? Or are we being rebellious and it's because of our own sin? I said it. Okay. Well, let's go to Acts 27. And this story, I'm kind of reading it flip-flopped. I don't know why. Sometimes God makes us do things flip-floppy. I want you to know I do love all you guys. Yes. And Lois, I think you were in a bathroom when I gave this word. During worship, God said, He is proud of us. He is proud of you. Yes. All right. Lord be with you. Oh, fill me up, Lord. I pray any word that I say is from you. Take away all the stage fright. That's a stupid thing, but I'm glad that God uses me through it. Just take anything that is not of you and let it fall by the wayside. Yeah, if you don't agree with anything I say, I'm not offended. Check it out. Read the word, and if you come up with something different, I'd love to discuss it because I'm not always right. All right, Acts 27, starting at verse 38, yes, to 44. After they were satisfied, they threw the grain into the sea to lighten the ship. When daylight came, the sailors didn't recognize the land, but they noticed a cove with a sandy beach. So they decided to run the ship ashore. They cut away the anchors, leaving them in the sea. They untied the ropes, holding the rudders, and hoisted the foresail to the breeze to head for the beach. But they drifted it into the rocky shoals between two depths of the sea, causing the ship to flounder, still a distance from the shore. The bow was stuck fast, jammed on the rocks, and while the stern was being smashed by the pounding of the surf. Kind of what we feel like right now, you know, being pounded. And I see it all over the church, so a lot of this stuff I'm speaking is gonna, might like be ouch, but it's like, I'm gonna use it to lift you up, and you'll see that. The soldiers wanted to kill all the prisoners to prevent them from escaping, but the Roman officer was determined to bring Paul safely through. So he foiled their attempts. He commanded the prisoners and the crew who could swim to jump overboard and swim ashore. The rest all managed to survive by clinging. That's what a lot of yous are doing right now. You're just clinging to the planks and hoping you don't drown. And broken pieces of the ship so that everyone scrambled to the shore uninjured. You're coming out of this alive, all right? Let's go back it up to find out why they got there. So if we go up to verse 16. 16 through 26 on chapter 27. As we passed to the lee of a small island called, Quetta, we were barely able to get the ship's lifeboat under control. So the crew hoisted the dinghy aboard, and the sailors used ropes and cables to ungird the ship, fearing that they would run aground on the shoals of Sidon. They lowered the drag anchor to slow its speed and let the ship to be driven along. The next day, because of being battered severely by the storm, the sailors jet-setted the cargo, and by the third day, They even threw the ship's tackle and rigging overboard. After many days of seeing neither the sun nor the stars, and with the violent storm continuing to rage against us, all hope of ever getting through alive was abandoned. There's a back feed going on. Can you hear it, Eric? All right. After being without food for a long time, Paul stepped up before them and said, "Men, you should have had obeyed me and avoided all this pain and suffering by leaving Crete. Now listen to me. Don't be too depressed, for no one will perish. Only the ship will be lost. For God's angel visited me last night, the angel of my God, the God I passionately serve, and he came and stood in front of me and said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul. You are destined to stand trial before Caesar. And because of God's favor on you, he has given you the lives of everyone who's sailing with you. So men, keep your courage. I know that God will protect you, just as he told me he would. But we must run aground on some island to be saved.'" Well, this is one of the me things. If they would have listened, it wouldn't have happened. But they still had to go through it because there was a destiny to be done, you know, where Paul went in his ministry. So I like to take this apart just a little bit. He talks about the anchors. They had to cast away the anchors. Well, to me, an anchor is like a security kind of thing because it holds the ship. So is there something, I'm asking if you have something in your life, just examine yourself, that's holding you back. You think it's keeping you safe. It might have for a while, but is it something that you're going to have to cast off and let go? Yeah, we have to be secured and anchored in Jesus. I know one of my issues, I was anchored and secured in my job. You know, didn't pay the best, but it paid well, and I got my bills paid. That was my anchor, and it should have been Christ in the job. But as a man, we feel secure in being able to provide. So how did God deal with that? He had me quit. Yeah, that was a tough one. So why do we need to cast off and cut away? What is holding us back from all that God has for us? And even when we're wrong, God still saves us. Even when we mess up and screw up, he is always there to save us. Amen. All right, the next one I'm going to go to. So this one was from self. It started from self because I didn't listen. The next one I want to go to is talking about some pruning and cleansing. And it was interesting this morning. I'm like, is this word supposed to be what I got? Because sometimes when you teach, you're like, is this me? Am I hearing? So I switched to a notebook and I pull out notes. And there's Carla talking about pruning. And then Karen's talking about something I'm coming up on next. I'm like, all right, God, you got this. So let's go to John 15. John 15, 1 through 17. A lot of scripture today, but God says we need it. It says, "I am a true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches, connected to me by lifting up and propping up the fruitless branches, and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken to you have already cleansed you, so you must remain in life union with me." You must remain. All this stuff that has promises are conditional. And sometimes we forget that. So you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live intimately joined to me. Yeah. Get a lot of distractions too. Intimately. Forgive me, Lord. I am the sprouting vine and you are my branches. As you live in union with me, as your source. Yeah, not my job. Fruitfulness will stream from within you, but when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. That's the love I felt today from God, like Paul's feeling. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as if I have kept my Father's commands. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. So this is my command, love each other deeply, as much as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And when a person sacrifices his life for his friends, you show that you are my intimate friends when you obey all that I command you. I have never called you servants, because a master doesn't confide in his servants. And servants don't always understand what the master's doing. Yeah, sometimes I don't either. But I call you my most intimate and cherished friend. For I revealed to everything that I've heard from my Father. You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit, and your fruit will last. Whatever you ask of my Father for my sake, he will give it to you. This is my parting command. Love one another deeply. And Karen's been speaking a lot about this, that we got to have this love. So this is kind of the God part. God's doing it. So God's pruning. But when he prunes, and this is the note that I seen from Carla, God removes what hinders our spiritual development. So he's not trying to take things from us. He's trying to get things to us. And this verse, I actually was taught false teaching on it growing up. And they used it for the verse that you can lose your salvation, that if you're not abiding in the vine, you're going to be broken off and thrown in the fire. That's what I was taught. While studying this, I found out, what's the fire? It's Jesus. So he's not cutting you off. He's actually even bringing you in closer. So even though you're not bearing fruit and you might be living wrong, he's going to draw you closer to him, so that you can bear more fruit. And then the branches that are like kind of like we have trees that we planted, some of the branches kind of hang down lower, but so you prop them up. And that's what we are. We got to prop each other up. Yeah, so he takes us to himself. And then the whole thing is about the church, because we are going to branch out. And that's why we're going through hell, because we're about to branch out. The devil knows it. All right. So now we had an example of what happens from us and what happens when God prunes. And then the third one, and I don't like to give it too much time, but we need to be aware of what the devil does. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 3 through 6. For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. And he's talking about there is a demonic war going on. And it's all around. A lot of us are being beat up by it. And I want to encourage you, but during worship, the Lord took me to sometimes he uses natural things. And earlier in the week, we seen a whole pile of ants. And we're like, what's going on here? Like, is there a dead thing? And we looked it up, and it was an ant war. And it was ants. They were fighting two colonies over each other. And it's kind of like what's happening in the spiritual realm. There's a big battle going on. In the natural, it happens in the spiritual. So we go through hell in the natural because there's something going on. But as I watched these ants, I zoomed in on the phone, which was really cool. And they're battling. And some of them, when they're fighting, they start to grab each other and pull. And then some on the other side, So if you have two ants pulling, they get backup on both sides. On the bad side, you got some of the other ants trying to pull that other ant, and then you have the other good ant, and know what it made? It made the shapes of crosses. So as these ants were battling, they begin to make shapes of crosses on the ground. So that story is, even if the enemy is after you, God's got backup. He's got his angels at your command, and he has each other. You know, if you got a bad day, call me up and vent. All right. Now, how about some encouragement? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I want to keep it real because I go through it too. I don't, you know, I'm up here, you know, I might swear once in a while. I'm a human and I go through hell too. Yes. Yes. And I get discouraged. You know, I got healings in my foot that I've had for almost 40 years. So I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I struggle with that with God. But what's really weird, I have no struggle with faith that he's going to heal you, and you. But for me, I'm struggling with that. So, but he's healed me of other things, and I think it's my tenacity. I have times I screamed at him, and he took it. Another time, God, please take this away. And he doesn't touch it. I have to be like the woman, at, you know, with his garment. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 31:8. So I'm going to have some encouragement words. And it might be, it's a little different version. It's, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you, and he will fight with you, and he will never fail you or abandon you. And I have 4 quick verses to encourage you. Let's go to Psalm 73:26. Lord, so many times I fail, I've fallen to disgrace. But when I trust you, I have a strong and glorious presence protecting and anointing me. Forever, you are all I need. Philippians 4:12. Philippians 4:12 and 13. Did I write the page numbers down? I cheat. Yes. You know, sometimes you get ahead of yourself and you're like, and the spirit's there, your flesh is there, and you're trying to fight through it. Yeah, it's very interesting up here. That's a good word for up here. All right, Philippians 4:12 and 13. I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance, for I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or hunger, and I find that in the strength of Christ, explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty, not just some or one or 80, but not the 90th, all of them. Praise God. Psalm 18. Yes. Love you, Annette. Psalm 18, 31 through 36. Could there be any other God like Yahweh? For there is not a more secure foundation than you. God, you have me wrapped in power and made my way perfect. Through you, I ascend to the highest peaks to stand strong and secure in you. You've trained me with the weapons of warfare and worship, which is the big one. Worship, worship, worship. My arms can bend like a bow of bronze. You empower me for victory with wraparound presence. Your power within me makes me strong to subdue. By stooping down in gentleness, you make me great. You set me free, and now I am standing complete, ready to fight some more. Yeah, we're not ready to fight here, but it's very soon. Turn around. Matthew 11:28. when I actually lost my number. I think mine says 35. My Bible is a little bit different because it has study in it. Heavy burden, come to me and I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. All right. So why are we going to hell? Because something is at our doorstep about to come in, and those people are going through worse hell than us. And if we can't be fresh and free, how are we going to meet them? We need to be ready. I said, okay, Lord, you give me a prophetic anointing, so I need to put something in here, a little prophetic. So I've been sitting on, we're celebrating 250 years of freedom. I'm like, what else does 250 mean? So this is going to get a little deep. Not real deep, but a little tough, I guess. Well, 250, he took me to the 250, and I don't know who the leader was. Carla knows. She's very good at people's names in the Bible, but there's 250 prominent leaders who rebelled by offering up false incense. It was already done, so they wanted to do it now, you know, like, ha. So what did God do? He opened up the earth and swallowed them, and those that missed, he brought down fire, burned up the rest, and that was from rebellion. So I said, okay, how about 2026? Well, in Hebrew strong, 2026 means to kill, to slay, and destroy. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about the spirit of rebellion. There's such a spirit of rebellion. It's trying to get its way in our door. It's out in the streets. And God's saying this is the year that he's going to judge rebellion. So no more. So a Hebrew year for 2026, and this is where Karen had her, I had her note in my Bible. I thought that was kind of cool, and I didn't know it was there. So I'll read what she had, and then I'll read what I had. So this is a little refresh from this paper that Karen gave us at the beginning of the year. So it's good to hold on to things. So the year 5784 means, 5 means grace, 7 perfection, 8 new beginning, and 4 is door. So it has like, looks like a cane with a hook. This is the symbol of the Hebrew number 4, which is Dalet. The year will be a time of preparation. This is this year, what we're going through right now. A time when some doors will be opened. We've seen that. And some times when doors will be shut. We're going through that. It really hurts. This is the year of new opportunities and walking through the doors in the spirit. We are stepping into the calling that God has prepared for us. Know the doors that God has shut, for you will stay shut. Revelation 3:8, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one will shut it for you. For if you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. But often in Judaism, the 26, we're in 2026, represents God's presence, his creation, and his unbroken covenant. He has not forgotten you. So when Ed talked about turnaround, that's what this is. Turnaround doesn't mean like that. In prophecy, turnaround means it is like a net. Where you're going, it's so close. It's like when you eat a steak and you're just about to eat it, and your saliva comes out. My saliva is coming out for you because I can see it. And because you're going through a rough spot, God uses other people to see it so we can help bring you through. I see victory over Lois's family. I see victory over Scott and Dawn. I see victory over everybody. We don't see it, but guess what? I can see it. If you can't see it, begin to try to dream it and imagine it, because that's where it starts, and then you can draw it in. I'm going to have Carla come up and do a little thing that God gave her, too, and she didn't know what I was doing, so it was like, yeah, it's perfect. So I'm going to have can I close the service with me? All right. Karen's not going to close the service today, so don't get used to religion. Okay, so I'm going to have Carla come up. She's going to do something, and then I want to play a video. And some of you might know Tammy Baker back in the day. You know, she went through some stuff. She loved the Lord, and she sang this one song to this day that really touches me. And I found a version that her daughter recently redid, and they really did good backup instruments. They toned it down, and it's just so sweet. But I want you to listen to it, because it's going to be encouraging. And as it plays, if you need to go, you're free to go. But as the song plays, if you need to come up for prayer, just come up for prayer.
So I thought this was just for me. I got this last week, and then I was telling Steve about it. He's like, that would be perfect to go with my sermon. So this is like the show and tell portion. So I did a lot of origami when I was a kid. So if you can see, this paper has a lot of folds in it. It doesn't look like anything special. So if you think of each fold as something that's happening in your life, and as you press into God with that fold, though it doesn't look like much, and then more stuff happens, you get folded again, and more stuff happens, and you get folded again, and a little nervous, hopefully I can do the whole thing. Still folding, still folding, still folding. One. So it's, you know, as you go through each of these things, and I know since, like, the first year we were married, God gave us a lot of grace, and ever since that, we have been going through so many different things. And sometimes it's hard to look at the big picture. You know, you're just like, God, I can't do it anymore. I don't have the strength. So I hope that this gives you a little encouragement that there's a purpose in it all. So hang in there.
Waiting time is not wasted time. He's completed a video. And thank you guys back there. Sends those troubles to confound you.
There's no way you can make it through. His word is true. The battle is the Lord's. Don't give in to fear. Think of things that are pure. Praise the Lord. Your miracle is here. Don't give up on the brink of your miracle. Don't give in. God is still on the throne. Don't give up. You're on.
I think we all needed that encouragement today. And if you still need some more encouragement, we're here for you. You need prayer of agreement, come on up. You need healing your body, anything you need, we're here for you. So enjoy your day. There's some produce in the back and a little bit, and don't forget to fellowship. Amen. Just thank you, Lord. What a great day. Don't give up. Turning point. Boy, this whole went together. Isn't that awesome how God just orchestrated this whole thing? I love it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Peace. Bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding.